Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am pleased to host Heidi Powell. I was introduced to Heidi Powell by my trainer, Whitney Jones, out in Arizona, and that was, to be honest with you, that was my first exposure to Heidi, and she is just truly like a bundle of joy. She's so sweet and energetic and fun and down to earth in person. And the more I learned about her background and everything that she's involved in, both on her own, but also with her husband, Chris Powell, I was just so impressed. But she's just a dear, sweet friend and somebody who is very passionate about teaching others, inspiring others to get healthy, improve their lives, transform from the inside out. And these are all things we get to talk about on this episode. In fact, we ended up having so much to talk about, and there was so much more that I uncovered. We're definitely going to have Heidi back on the show, and she agreed to do that. For those of you that are new or just hearing about Heidi Powell for the first time, I'll give you a few clips from her bio. You can learn more about her, of course, on her blog and social media. But Heidi Powell is the ultimate female force. She is a trainer, a transformation specialist, a devoted wife, a mom of four. She makes it look so easy. A savvy businesswoman, an author, a nutrition nut, and an overall health guru. Heidi became a fixture in America's living room as she worked side by side husband Chris Powell on ABC's hit show Extreme Weight Loss. Heidi also has an incredibly successful blog, and y'all have to check that out. She just has amazing tips, great content, and also follow her on social media. We'll link all of that up again in the show episode. Adding best-selling author to her list of accolades, Heidi co-authored Chris's second book, Choose More, Lose More for Life, which immediately soared to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. Additionally, the Powells released their newest book in December, entitled Extreme Transformation, Lifelong Weight Loss in 21 Days, which provides a comprehensive blueprint for changing the body and your life in 21 days. We talk a lot about in the show Heidi and Chris's passion for transformation from the inside out, finding balance, how to fit in fitness when you have a busy business, but also kids. I'm really excited for you all to tune into this episode. So listen in and let us know what you think after the show. Enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today I have the pleasure, the distinct pleasure of having Heidi Powell on the show, somebody I met recently and who is, you know, I shared a little bit more about her in the bio and in the intro, but seriously, she is one of the most beautiful people inside and out, completely genuine, down to earth. You are going to love this interview, and Heidi, welcome to the show today.
Oh, thank you so much, Kelly. I think you did me too much of a service, I guess, with that description. That was so kind of you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It is the truth. And I know that anybody that's met you in person would say the same thing, because whenever we're comparing notes and people go, oh my God, you know Heidi Powell, they're like, she's so sweet, she's so cute, and it's just ridiculous. And your children and your husband, you're just cuteness overload. But yeah, it's all good.
With the children and the husband, yes, they are super cute, like cuteness overload for me too.
But the truth is, Heidi, and that's one of the things that I love about you, and I could tell early on when Whitney introduced us, is you are just as beautiful and just as sweet and kind and caring and genuine on the inside. And that's part of what we'll talk about later, because I know you and Chris both talk about transformation begins from the inside out. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but we will hit that.
So, okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. But know that I feel the same way about you, Kelly. It was so refreshing to meet you. And I know you want to get to these questions, but you're an incredible person inside and out as well. So I appreciate your friendship.
Thank you. And you're awesome. Okay, we're getting all gooey. People expect that with me. You know, it's like my co-host, Kevin, he's just got such a great voice. In fact, my dad always texts me and goes, Kevin, he has such a nice voice. And I'm like, what about your daughter, Dad? And he's like, well, yeah. Anyway, I digress.
Oh my gosh.
It's the truth. You can't make this stuff up. But anyway, well, as I shared, you know, I shared a little bit in the intro, but there's a ton of people listening that obviously are huge fans of yours. Seen you on TV. They've seen you and your husband on TV. They've probably picked up, hopefully, your latest book. They've seen you in social media. You guys are wonderful. You're amazing in social media. You've been an amazing Fitfluential influencer. But there's folks that are going to be listening that haven't yet met you, and this is going to be their first exposure to you. So I guess for people that are new, I'd love to know, like, when did fitness and leading an active and healthy lifestyle, when did that start for you?
You know, that's a really good question. I will say I was blessed to have been raised by parents that were very fit and so much into nutrition. And while I think that maybe they were so much into it that it was potentially the cause or one of the causes for the 10-year eating disorder that I struggled with. It was such a good example that they set. It's not their fault that I kind of took it in the wrong direction for so many years, but they really did set the example of, you know what, being happy comes from how fit your body is, how healthy your body is. Your body, your mind is only as healthy as your body is, which is the actual truth. So they would actually, every single morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, they would wake up, they would go to the gym while we got ready for school, come home, get us ready. They never forced us to do anything, but they always just set that healthy example, that fit example. They packed our lunches with fruits, vegetables, lean meats, all that kind of stuff. So I had exposure to that early on. My parents both looked so fit, looked the part, and they acted the part too. So thank goodness for that. It's kind of been ingrained in me from day one. I will say once I got married, I kind of went away from it in my first marriage and just, I think I was a little bit over it and a little bit sick of it for a while. And I did my own thing. I didn't work out. I definitely felt the consequences of that. My pregnancies were a lot harder. My hips didn't feel good. I had all these aches and pains and it wasn't good for me. But I think I needed to experience that to appreciate what it was that my parents were teaching us. It's so funny how your parents teach you and they preach to you over and over and over. And it's kind of in one ear and out the other until you're on your own and you have to experience it for yourself. So then as far as getting back into it, it really just took me kind of going through some really dark times with an eating disorder where that was kind of, and I replaced fitness with that addiction. And never felt good about myself. Instead of working out at the gym and, you know, getting those endorphins pumping and staying fit that way, I was so focused on being skinny and being able to eat what I wanted, but not have my body suffer the consequences of it. And it suffered in so many other ways, but I never gained weight because of it, if that makes sense. So I guess my rebirth of fitness really didn't come until I met Chris. It was awesome. I had started dabbling in marathons and half marathons about a year or two before I met him, but fitness was not my lifestyle again until I met Chris. And now it's like we eat, sleep, and breathe fitness and health. And I love it. And our kids do too.
And
such
you
a long-winded honestly, answer. Sorry.
No, I... Honey, my middle name, if you look up long-winded
it's Kelly
in the
Alexa.
Dictionary, yeah, there's a picture of me. And ask anybody that works or has ever worked at Fitfluential, they'll be like, Kelly Alexa writes the longest emails and says the longest sentences. Even, okay, remember I talk about my dad? And he'll die if he's listening to this, but my dad will always go, Kelly, could you just be brief? And I'm like... I don't know what that means. So
that is yes. Someone the other day had said, they're like, they were talking about someone. They're like, this person lacks an edit button. So every time I ask a question, it's like 5 minutes before they get to the punchline. I'm like, oh my gosh, do I lack an edit button? Do I just talk and talk and talk? So I may lack an edit button.
But you know what? This is the no edit show. So good. We don't edit. We let our guests be themselves, and good. I'm just going to flow. But you know, we've had some folks where I'm like, please stop. And then sometimes we just re-record it. And we're good enough friends with everybody on the show where they're like, oh man, I realized. Yeah, 35-minute answer. Okay.
Hilarious. Well, if you need me to stop, you don't even have to edit it out. Just be like, Heidi, chill, stop talking. All right.
But you know, there's people in real life where you just want to have like a remote control.
Yes.
To go.
Like fast forward or pause.
Yeah.
Or
mute.
Totally.
Or the ability to like, unfriend people in person. Well, yeah,
yes.
I'm digressing. I'm, as usual, folks, sorry about the Heidi Kelly party, but that's just the way it's going to go today.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I agree.
So you know, when you're talking about meeting Chris, and how long ago was that when you guys first met?
So we met in 2008. You guys, just don't ask me, Kelly, how many years we've been married, because I would have to do the math. It's really bad. So it really hasn't been that long. But I will say it feels in the best way. I mean this in the best way. It feels like we've been together for a lifetime. And I mean that because we've been through each year. We've traveled to so many countries, so many cities, locations, done so many things, had so many experiences, met so many wonderful people that it's like, I really do feel like each year we've lived has been like 15 years in the average person's life. And I've gotten to do it all with him. And it's, yeah. So not too long ago. That was a long answer to how many years have we known each other?
Honey, like I said, let it flow. I'm just going to let you finish.
Okay.
So well, my question is, you know, you mentioned that he's the one, I didn't intend to ask you this, but I'm just going with the flow.
Yeah.
You know, he was the one that got you kind of started. That was like your rebirth. And it's interesting. I'm glad that you brought up. I actually didn't know that about you, Heidi. I don't think we had talked that you had an eating disorder. So that might be something later down the road, because we have a lot of folks that are going to be discussing that. It's very common with both. I didn't realize it's as much in common or common for men to develop eating disorders of any kind. And folks that are listening, don't think eating disorders, it means everyone is anorexic or bulimic. There's all kinds of, I'm still struggling, and Kevin works with me on things where sometimes when you start down, even just, hey, I have a clean eating approach, you can get to the point where you, like, I fear eating one Pop-Tart. And everyone knows me, I'm obsessed with Pop-Tarts, probably because of Whitney Jones.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you can get, like, you're eating so clean, and I will literally look at Kevin and go, is this okay? And that's not normal. So I'm just sharing that with listeners too, that it can be a journey, and that can be something simple where, you know, I might not be anorexic or bulimic, but I got to work on that mindset that, like, hey, I can have Giordano's pizza, I can have a double-decker cheeseburger and like get over it.
And not freak out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I love what you said, because it's true. An eating disorder isn't necessarily anorexia or bulimia. It's not being able to find balance with nutrition in any way, shape, or form. So while I think my most destructive eating patterns were earlier on when I was either starving myself or binging and purging, I have to keep myself in check now, because I think an eating disorder is an addiction. And with any addiction, like a recovering pill addict, say, for example, they're never a recovered pill addict. They're always forever a recovering pill addict or a recovering alcoholic. And so I try to always remember, although I feel sometimes like I am so far removed from bulimia, that was so long ago, I don't feel like I could ever struggle with that again. I have to remember, I'm never greater than that addiction. I'm not. It always has the potential to grab a hold of me again. So I need to stay aware of it and make sure my eating patterns are balanced. And you know, it's funny you talk about the Pop-Tart thing, because for the past year and a half, I've been doing macro counting since I met Whitney and Damien. And I am not kidding you. It has been the most freeing thing in my world. And I've been preaching it from the mountaintops, like, oh my gosh, I'm so free, blah, 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 blah. All you do is track your macros, and I can fit a donut in, I can fit Pop-Tarts in, I can do all this stuff. But then, Kelly, I have to tell you, so I had surgery 4 weeks ago now, 4 weeks ago today. And since surgery, I have not macro tracked anything. I was literally on day like 486 of my Fitness Pal, entering every single thing into my Fitness Pal. And for 4 weeks, I have not tracked a single food because I can't work out for another 2 weeks. It's 6 weeks total. And so in my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to stress myself with tracking macros right now. I'm going to give myself a break. And just last week, I'm like, Chris, this is like, I didn't realize how obsessive I was becoming with this thing that was supposedly freeing me. Like this macro tracking was supposed to be freeing my mind and my body, but I had taken it to the extreme yet again. I mean, one thing, it's like I grab a hold, I'm an addict. I grab a hold of it and I take it to the extreme. So granted, I'm going to go back to it once I start working out and getting in the swing of things again, once I'm cleared. But like, I'm going to go back with a whole new mentality that it doesn't need to be perfect. I was so every day, I was weighing every single thing that I ate and, you know, claiming I was free, but it was controlling me more than anything. And granted, it was great. I could reach every one of my fitness goals. But yeah, it's constantly being aware that we need to strive for balance no matter what it is we're doing. And I've seen so many people post about intuitive eating. It's like, yeah, I macro track, but on Saturdays and Sunday, I eat intuitively. I don't track. And I think that's the next round. I'm probably going to try something like that where I go 6 days where I track and then a seventh day where I eat intuitively just to let my body and my mind rest a little bit. Because yeah, finding balance is everything.
Amen, sister. And you just said, you know, I always joke when I'm recording these podcast interviews because inevitably the people that we're talking to will say something that's so in alignment with the themes that we're covering on the show, lifestyle, stress reduction, you know, the importance of mind and body and balance. And you just nailed it. I mean, in fact, it's funny because I love MyFitnessPal. I think it's an outstanding app, but, and this is not to say anything bad about MyFitnessPal. It's Heidi, I have very similar, traits or personality traits like you, tendencies. I'm type A. I go all or nothing. I expect overnight results. I'm the most impatient person on the planet. And, you know, if somebody tells me to do something, I'm like, Kevin, you know, who's the co-host on the podcast, but he's also my like life coach and my health coach. He's like, Kelly, yeah, you would train all day if you could.
Yes.
Because, you know, I mean, when I met you, I told you I've been dealing with massive hormonal imbalance and health issues. So I want to fix everything in 2 days.
Totally. And, you're such a fixer.
And so it's a thing, people. It's a thing. Yay. And so you get the MyFitnessPal and Whitney would give me my macros. And I'm like, well, if 75, I'm just randomly saying 75 grams of fat, 50 grams is better.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Okay. I did 50 yesterday. I'm going to do 40.
Yes.
And then instead of 90 minutes of exercise, I'm going to do 97. And then tomorrow I'm going to do 99. And you don't even get in this thought process where you're realizing, wait a second, what's my goal? Is my goal to work out 24 hours a day and to inevitably get down to zero calories?
Yeah.
Like if you keep cutting and you keep increasing and burning the candle at both ends, inevitably, like you're going to evaporate and that's not balanced. So I'm glad you brought that up. And it's so common. Do you see that? I know that you have folks that you have advised and that you have trained, both you and your husband together and then separately. But is that something you see a lot with women and men or just women? Or is that, what do you think?
You know, I think it yes, absolutely. 100%. What you just said actually led me down a thought that coordinated directly with transformation, the people that we work with. It's men, it's women. It's really anyone who's, like you said, you called yourself impatient. Anyone that is impatient and wants results immediately, I am the same way. But one of the terms that we use all the time, and it makes total sense. It's like losing weight or reaching any goal is like a game of poker. You have to have your cards and you play one card at a time. If you play your entire hand all at once and you increase your cardio to 97 minutes and you decrease your fats to 40 to 50 when you're prescribed as 75, you're basically using up all the cards in your hand. You're not playing your poker hand effectively. You're not being smart with the way that you're doing it. So we always start people really, really small. Now, it's easy for me to coach people and say, hey, start small. It's a lot different and a lot harder for me to practice it myself because I do want those results fast. I want them instantaneously. But reminding myself to practice what I preach, which is play one card at a time first, we're going to start people by moving 5 minutes a day. And I have people going, oh my gosh, 5 minutes a day is nothing. Like I can do 50, I can do, you know, 60, I can move more. The fact of the matter is, yes, you can. You can move a lot more and you can eat a lot less. But before you know it, you're going to be doing 2 hours a day. You're going to be eating 1,200 calories and you're not going to have any other cards left to play. Your body adapts to every single thing that we do, everything. So when you're at 1200 calories and you're doing 2 hours of cardio, it's going to adapt and it's going to plateau at some point. We don't have any other cards to play because women should never go below 1200 calories. And 2 hours of cardio is excessive. That's not doable for the rest of your life. So, hey, if we can get you results by doing 5 minutes a day and eating 2000 calories for starters, let's play that card until it stops working. Once that card stops working, we're going to bump you up to 10 minutes a day. And we're going to actually only one thing at a time. When that stops working, we're going to, you know, decrease your calories to 1900. So we do everything so strategically so it doesn't get used to too much. Then when we notice that the calories are getting lower and your cardio, say, or your workouts are getting a lot higher, we actually do a reset and a refeed where we pull your exercise back and we feed you excess calories. So your body kind of goes into a shock. And it's really hard for people to accept this because they're like, gosh, I want to lose the weight so fast. They're so impatient. But it works every single time. The proof is in the pudding. People do change with little bits at a time, but it really takes one of the hardest things to do, and that's trusting the process and trusting your coach. And it's like with you and Whitney, you know, you talking about it. It's like, you know, Whitney knows what she's doing, but it's just so hard to trust the process because you're like, gosh, but I want to get there now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I actually have a mug. It's a blue mug and I've posted on social media a million times and it says, trust the process. Oh. And it's like, so, yeah, like everything you just said, I'm over here like nodding my head. It's almost like I'm in church right now. I have my hands up and I'm like, preach it, girl, you know? And in fact, it's funny. We went, I'm down in Austin, Texas right now. And we went to Stevie and Kevin's church. It's called Shoreline Church.
Yeah.
And this woman, it was actually the pastor's wife, and she was talking and she said something about the key in anything you want to do is consistency.
Yep.
It's consistency, being in it for the long haul. And Stevie's like elbowing me because she knows that my you know, and if my mom was there, she would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, what are you elbowing me for?
That is,
you
know, hilarious.
But I knew it because it's right. And that's the number one thing Whitney has had to work with me on. I have to work with myself on. And for everybody listening, like, you know, that's the biggest, probably, I think, key factor for success, because it'll keep your head in the game if you if you chill out. In fact, the interview I did this morning, I was talking with Amanda Truss and we talked about how I had to learn to start giving things a year, at least give it, you know, 100 days.
Yeah.
Start being willing, like when you talked about poker.
Yeah.
You know, play this card first, give it some time. Two minutes or 2 hours is not time.
Exactly.
Like, exactly. Let it sink in. And you know, the more, I hope more people get in line with that it's okay to love yourself along the way. And I know that might sound like new agey and too hippie for all of you guys, but seriously, I'm raising my hand here as somebody who has beat myself up for 10 years, trying to be perfect, trying to be a size two when I will never be a size two.
Yeah.
And trying to fit into a mold that is unreasonable. And now I'm like, okay, you know what? I have some health issues, but I'm going to love myself along the way and appreciate myself along the way and actually not say, I can't go to the gym because I'm not perfect.
Yes.
Like, that's moronic.
It is. And, you know, isn't it funny how the older we get, at least for me, I feel like the older I get, yeah, I'm getting wrinkles and I'm, you know, I probably have some gray. I don't know. I don't let my hairdresser tell me. But but I will say I have, and granted, I'm not as light on the scale as I was when I was in high school, which was such a big deal to me. But I feel better about who I am than I've ever felt before. But I think it's because I've learned how to love myself. Granted, I have my days like everybody does where I struggle with loving myself. But without a shadow of a doubt, I would never rewind the clock and go to 20 again because I did not know how to love myself and appreciate who I was like I do now. Even when I'm striving for a goal, it's like I don't tell myself I'm going to love myself when I get there. No, I'm going to love myself every single step of the way and appreciate who I am, what I have, because I am such a blessed person. And it's all a perspective shift, you know, because when you think about it, I don't have the youth on my side like I did 15 years ago. So I have a lot fewer things going for me, but in my mind, I've told myself that I have a lot more going for me and I love who I am and where I'm at. And relating that to transformation, the very first day we meet all of the participants on the show, we sit them down and we're like, hey, in addition to a lot of other things that we teach them, we always say, we warn them about what we call lottery syndrome. If you're sitting here today, And you think that once you win the lottery, or once you get chosen, and once you reach day 365 and you've lost half your body weight, that you're going to be happy, you will be sorely disappointed. This process is not about getting there, getting to that end goal, losing 100, 200 pounds, and being happy when you stand on the scale at the finale. Your goal, the goal is to learn how to love yourself right now, today, or slowly over time, because then you will appreciate who you are at that point in time. If you don't figure out how to love yourself before you hit your goal, you're going to have more problems at the end of the day. So you're going to be 200 pounds lighter, but be a lot more miserable. It's that whole thing my dad used to say, more money, more problems. It goes with everything. The more blessings you have in life, the more problems you have too. So if you don't figure out how to love and appreciate what you have when you have it, you're never going to appreciate and love it when the time comes that you have even more.
It's so true. And you can apply that. I can think of so many examples of people who have unlimited wealth and they're miserable.
Yes.
They're not fulfilled. They're not centered. And one of the, people will look at you if they haven't been following you already, I encourage you. I mean, obviously they will because they'll love you. But when you look up Heidi on social, like, you've tagged me in a couple Instagram posts and you're just, you radiate joy, you radiate happiness, and it's so genuine. I mean, people, like, that's one of the best things people say to me in person is they'll say, oh my gosh, you're just like you are online. You're so high energy. You're genuine. Those are the things to me that matter more than, how many followers I have or how much is in my bank account. And you can't fake that.
No.
So, everything you're saying is true. Find... One of the things we talked about in my interview with Gary Vaynerchuk is he talked about self-awareness. And that's something that I hadn't even felt like I knew what the word was this year. This year has been the most trying year of my life. And yet out of it, I am on that journey of self-awareness. I'm figuring out who I am and being kinder to myself and giving myself more credit because so many of us don't. So I'm glad that you brought that up. And again, when you start following Heidi, if you haven't already, and both Heidi and Chris, they're just amazing, genuine, very caring, committed people, both to each other and to others. So, so honored to have you here and that people are going to get to know you. And I'm just gushing all over you again.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
It's true.
I think when we, when I focus on the things that are really important, like my family and what I do have and, appreciation for life, things are good. But then I'm not going to lie, you had said something about focusing on the amount of followers and amount of money in the bank account. The second you start focusing on that stuff, I feel desperation and depression creep in so easily. And I think that goes for everyone. And social media is such a blessing because we get enlightenment from so many people. We get to know who they are and let them inspire us. And we in turn get to inspire people. But then the flip side of the coin, I think social media, it's a double-edged sword because that is the good side. But the other side of it is it's so insanely easy to compare ourselves to other people. The second comparison starts, it's like you might as well just, lay down and die because not really, but you know what I'm saying? You become lifeless and you become so affixed and focused on everyone else and what you don't have and blah, 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 blah. Social media is just one of those things I always say beware. And I don't go on that often to really look at everyone else. I go search my friends, every now and then, but I post to inspire and I look to see what I'm tagged in because it makes me feel so good. But I try not to spend a lot of time on there unless it's inspiring and unless I'm feeling good, only because it's so easy to get wrapped up in that comparison game and start to focus on the amount of followers and the money in the bank account, leading back to what you said, and that's not productive.
It's really true. And it's funny because, a big part of our business, Fitfluential, we do social media marketing campaigns.
Yes.
You've been part of those. Yeah. And that's part of my business, but I spend remarkably less time in social because of that.
Yes.
And I put something up and I just lost it, like yesterday, I think I was like, God, there are some people, and I swear to God, they are Snapchatting their entire life.
Yes.
And I think it's the thing, it's so easy to get competitive and go, I need to be seen. I need more likes. I need this. And I want to go, do you like some of you girls and these, their husband is in every Snapchat. And I'm like, at what point is he going to go, like, I'm out of here. I've lost it.
Yes.
My wife is Snapchatting my entire, so.
Chris, I would not be a fit for Chris. I'm telling you this right now. If I Snapchatted, he would be like, what the hell? Excuse my language. are you doing? Like, be my wife and be my partner and be a mom. Like, he would, now certain people are really good at like balancing it and rolling it in. I couldn't, I would be like, I can't balance that. So I don't Snapchat. I don't Instagram story because I don't know how.
Don't go down the path. You know, there's a tiny part of me that at first I was like, you know, when Instagram stories came out, and I do enjoy Snapchat, but I just, yeah. You know, like I think I spend maybe 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, and that's about it. And when
good
I,
for you.
Anyway,
you find the balance. Yeah. And that's
because you want to be present. I mean, this is another topic that you might touch on, but I want to hit your transformation, your recent one. But okay. You know, one of the things, because you have kids, right?
Yes.
That we're going to talk about on
four
the show is kids and technology and social media and how that can just destroy their health at such a young age. I'm going to reference something, but I had a really bad ear infection that started in December of 2015, and it lasted about 5 or 6 months. I ended up having a hole in my eardrum, and it was awful. And when people go, you're 47, why are you getting ear infections? I'm like, I don't know. I invite drama and I like the attention.
Yeah.
So whatever. But you know, when I went to see this ENT finally, I was asking him like, how did I get this? And he indicated a lot of it could be inflammation. It could be any of these things. But we started talking about kids and I'm like, why are kids always, always having their phones, their tablets, they have their headphones on all the time? He goes, you have no idea how many 12-year-old, 13-year-old kids we get in here that have lost 50% of their hearing.
Oh,
because it's like an epidemic. And parents, I'm like, how do you not get that if you don't let your kids go outside and play, if you put them to bed with their tablet or their smartphone and all they do is play video games and then you have poor eating habits, like that blue light can suck the life out of you. Have you had to, you know, limit the exposure with technology for your kids? You seem like you guys are so active outside and healthy that it's not an issue, but I imagine it's a challenge for everybody.
Well, okay. So I do want to preface this because it's going to sound like I'm like on a high horse and I'm like, well, here's what we do to totally, Chris and I don't do everything right. We really do not. We have a lot of struggles and we're learning like everybody else is and how to raise our kids. I will say that. But that is one thing that I have been, Chris and I both have been so passionate about. And I think it all stemmed because Cash, our third child, he's 5 now. He has a very, Chris and I have addictive personalities and Cash is like gotten both of our addictive personalities like multiplied times 20. He just has. And so it's like when he would touch the iPad, it's all he could think about all day, every day. Even if he didn't play all day, every day, it's all he thought about. So we literally went through a phase where I had to pull the iPad away from him completely, like 100%. We locked it up in the safe for about 4 months and he became a different child. Like seeing how he actually came to life once we pulled electronics away was it was eye-opening. It was mind-blowing to me and Chris both, and to just see how happy he was and how active he was. So especially because of him, I would say that's probably why a lot of our limitations happen. My kids do not have cell phones and I refuse. Maddox is only 11, so I'm sure he's probably not really even if he is at the age, he's not going to until, I always tell him, when he can afford a phone to pay for it and he can afford to pay the monthly payment and he has a few other mile markers that he has to meet to show responsibility, then he can have a phone. That's our thing. And even with the phone at any point in time, as long as he's under our roof, I reserve the right to take it away from him at any point in time because I don't want him feeling like that's his hiding place. I don't want him going there when life's not good and getting addicted and, you know, being on social media because I know how social media can make 99% of people feel. And I don't want my kids experiencing it.
Good for you.
Yeah, but as far as electronics now, we have a deal. They don't even get to it, but like maybe once or twice a week because we're so busy. We keep them active in sports and piano and different things and family stuff. But their deal is if they go out in the garage and do some kind of active circuit, like Chris will put a circuit together with them every day. He will always make time to do it if they want to. They complete the circuit. They earn 15 to 30 minutes of screen time.
And that's awesome.
It has been life-changing. That's been in effect for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. And it's been the best thing for all of my kids. Marley barely ever goes on her iPod. Maddox, maybe like 2 to 3 times a week, you know, but he like makes a point to earn it. And then Cash, he only gets to play Saturdays. So he has a rule. He can only play on Saturday. but it has worked. And the parents that have tried that, where you make them be active for 15 minutes and then they get to play for the same amount of time, they have had so much success with it too. So for anyone listening, I highly, highly recommend it.
I love it. I think that's amazing. And I think a lot of parents, you know, will maybe, that's what we want to do with the show is I hope that every time someone listens, they just have like that head tilt moment where they go, okay.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, it happens to everyone. I love that you're sharing, like, we're not perfect. We mess up or whatever. But I do think there's even more of this technology addiction thing with young boys. I don't know why, because my nephew, like he was 2 years old, and it was so funny because they would have to hide everyone's phones from him. And we have this picture of like little Chase, and he snuck downstairs in the kitchen on like Christmas morning or something. He pulled a chair over to the counter because he knew where his dad hid the phones.
My gosh.
He got up on the counter like an addict, and he's like playing with it. He's two in his diapers. But, you know, they had to do the same thing. Yeah, they had to do something where they're like, you know, I think they earn certain hours. But, kids respect it. And especially, you know, when you're leading by example and it's not like a punishment, you're empowering them. And they, both on health choices, but technology choices, they're much stronger and they're less, I think, worried about peer pressure and going, oh, I don't have a cell phone at school. Here's why I don't have a cell phone at school.
So true.
You know?
So true. And I think that's one of the biggest things I try to instill in my kids. It's like, it's not a, like, who cares if you don't have a cell phone and everyone else does? Because guess what? When you're 16, everyone's going to have a car and you're not. Like, you're going to get to drive one of ours maybe if you're lucky. Like, but that's how I was raised. And I hated it then, but I appreciate it so much now that my dad was very like, hey, what's going on out there is not important. It's what's going on in here and with you, you know? So I'm trying to kind of take a note from my dad and my mom and how they did things. But I'm not going to lie. Like, there are so many times, Kelly, where I'm like, and I shouldn't say so many times, but I will catch myself where I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a phone call. There's an iPad. Ruby.
I'd be the same way just when I babysit.
Yeah,
but, you know,
it is hard as parents.
Isn't it funny though, you know, I love that you are following in your parents' footsteps, and my parents were the same way. Like, I can't tell you how many times I said really nasty words to my mom behind the door when I was grounded and I pouted all the time and I always got yelled at for my attitude.
Yes.
And, you know, I got in trouble more times than not, but I so appreciate it. And I don't understand why discipline is such an admirable trait as an adult. But why are we scared to discipline kids?
You know,
food for thought.
Gosh.
Right.
That's like a whole podcast in and of itself.
Right?
Yes. Because it's like kids actually do appreciate discipline, and they just don't know it at the time. Like, kids actually crave structure and they crave discipline, but it's really hard for us as parents because I think so many times we try to be their friend and we feel like, gosh, if I enforce this or if I say this and I take this away or ground them, they're not going to like me. But I think as adults, we need to be less concerned. And this is my opinion for me. Chris and I need to be less concerned about our kids liking us and more concerned about raising productive human beings. And I have no doubt that in the end, everything will work out because, again, that's the approach my parents took. I knew that they loved me, but they also stuck with what they told me. And in the end, I am so incredibly grateful. I am closer with my mom. My dad's passed away. But with my mom and my family than most people that I know growing up. And a lot of it was the discipline and the structure that they gave me. You know, it instilled a lot of good in me.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And yes, that's a total other podcast because I'll just say this. I, like, my mom and I are best friends now. Oh, and let me tell you, she was my nightmare when I was like 16. I wasn't allowed to wear makeup. I wasn't allowed to wear heels. And she knows this now, but I snuck it behind her back.
Yeah.
And she still yells at me for swearing. She's like, Kelly, I'm going to wash your mouth out. I'm like, Mom, you need to swear more often. She's listening to the show. She's like, Kelly, why are you letting people swear? I'm like, Mom, get over it.
Oh my gosh, like, I dropped the H word, the H-E double hockey stick word. I am so sorry.
My mom's cool. She's, you know, she battled breast cancer 2 years ago and she's a survivor and she kicks ass. Ooh. And she'll be totally fine with me saying the ass word on the show. Yeah. She's totally, of course, who knows, somebody else will get mad at me. But anyway.
That is so funny.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm totally, okay, I'm so upset because I had so many good questions, but we'll have you back on the show.
Yeah.
We'll ask some of those.
Let's just do this, every day, Kelly.
Yeah, this is good news. This is good stuff. So I feel like we should have coffee and some Krispy Kremes while we're talking.
We should. Yes, because I'm not counting my macros right now. So I'll totally eat a Krispy Kreme donut.
It's not just one, Heidi. Don't take me there. We'll have Whitney come over and bring us back up. So we'll have Pop-Tarts and Krispy Kremes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, and everybody, we'll reference this in the show notes, too, on Fit Fluential Radio. Heidi, when were you on the cover of Oxygen magazine? You were just on the cover, two or three months ago, earlier this summer, right?
Yep. So it was actually it's so funny. I have it right here because I'm in my office. Not that I have magazines in me everywhere, but it was the September and October issue. So Oxygen's now a two-month issue.
I didn't even realize.
September, October. It just went off shelves. But thank you.
It was, she looks amazing on it. And don't let her kid you. She literally brings 200 magazines everywhere she goes. And she passes them out on the street. And she's like, just check me out. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you want this? Do you want this? Kelly, did I give you a copy? No, I'm just joking. Never.
I got the box of 10. Of 10. It arrived last week.
Oh,
but
my God.
I remember it arrived in my box. And this is part of this transformation story because when I met you, you'd already been training with Whitney and you were you were building muscle and you looked great. And I had no idea early on that you had this. And I hope I'm not offended. I don't think I'll offend you when I say
this.
Not
at all.
But, you know, you had these before and after pictures up on Instagram where, and I think, you know, you'll have to tell us when this before picture was, but you were very skinny. You were skinny Heidi, almost a little bit of a bobblehead Heidi.
Yes.
And I say,
completely.
I say that with love.
Yes. But I was a lollipop. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You were very, I think you were referencing that you were back then you ate a lot less and you did CrossFit and then you started training and you were referencing now how much more you eat. You've talked already on the show about, you know, you count your macros and you have flexible dieting.
Yeah.
Tell me about this transformation, because for folks that see you now, you obviously have a very healthy mindset. You enjoy treats. You're not, you know, doing any kind of weird, you know, purging or what, you know, just weird stuff.
Yeah.
But tell me about the transformation.
Yeah. So, okay. I had my before and after picture that you most likely saw. It was September 2014. So I was Ruby. My little girl was 10 months old. I had been breastfeeding. So I was nursing. I was eating probably 1500 calories and definitely working out a lot. I was doing a lot of CrossFit. I was working out with our peeps on the show. And then fast forward, the after was a year and 3 months later. And that was December 2015 was that after shot. And it was, I had gone from eating 1500 to 1800 calories a day up to, I would cycle between 2200 and 2700 calories a day. And I cut out cardio completely because I made the decision that I wanted to actually grow and sculpt my body and not be scared of food and not be scared of, you know, moving a little bit less. And I lifted hard. I lifted like an athlete. Thanks to Whitney and Damien for teaching me that. And it completely 100% transformed my body and my mind. I was always so terrified. Chris would say, gosh, well, Heidi, if you want to grow muscle, if you want to grow a butt, you got to eat. And I'm like, no, I'll just do squats, you know? And he's like, no, you need to eat more than 15 to 1800 calories a day because you're nursing a baby too. You've got to eat. But it was so scary for me to think about putting 1,000 to 2,000 extra calories, 1,000 extra calories in my body and know that it was going to go to muscle instead of fat. I just had this phobia. I'm like, how do I know it's going to go there? And you know, I'm a trainer. I knew the science of it. I'd help people through, but to practice what you preach is so difficult sometimes. And so there was, for me, having a coach that is not my husband, having a coach to guide me through it and to check in with weekly was everything. So, I mean, I knew I would be like, all right, so even if I gain 5 pounds this week, I have Damien to tell me I'm either doing it right or I'm doing it wrong. He's going to tweak it. So I do highly recommend if anyone is going through a struggle, whether it's gaining weight or losing weight, and you're just having a hard time finding balance, don't be scared to reach out for help. Coaches are there for a reason. They've done this with so many other people, and we should really use others' expertise to benefit who we are and make us better human beings. I've learned so much just in my transformation journey that's helped me with every single person that I work with now.
I love what you said because you brought up a couple points. Number one, accountability, yes. which is key for everybody.
Yes.
And one little side note, because I know a lot of people that are maybe new to a health and wellness journey. You know, we talk about trainers or we talk about investing in, you know, maybe a meal prep or a meal delivery service, whatever it is. Yes. Maybe it's a gym membership. Usually that money objection comes up and, yes. and it's not like I want to make it simple for people that are listening, but yeah. you know, sometimes if you are getting started investing in yourself, it's amazing that you can make it happen. And yeah. I, by no means are we saying here, and I know Heidi, you aren't, you know, we're not saying go break the bank and run up debt and hire a trainer, but sometimes at the beginning, you'll be amazed how much it will help you. And when you start, this is a little bit referencing that inner transformation yeah. Question for you. When you start one area of your life, maybe it's fitness, and you start changing your mind and the way that you yes. talk to yourself, you start to want to be better in other areas.
Yes.
You start to want to be, you've gained control and you realize you're stronger, you're more capable of things. And then suddenly you want to be better in your relationship and you want to pass on, you know, that's where, of course, Fitfluential, the whole world comes in. The whole
100%.
Word. I can't even talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Word comes in. I can't talk today. I need another, yeah. you know, donut. Well, yeah, getting distracted. But it leads into other areas of your life. And I think that's probably what you mean as well when you talk about transformation beginning from the inside. But I love that you talked about asking for help because so many people don't. They go it alone. They don't get the results or they feel embarrassed because they don't know how to do things at the gym. They don't know how the weight machines work. Even yeah. if it's something as simple as asking someone to show you.
Yes.
I love that you said that because you do need help. You do need accountability. And yes. it's better to not go it alone, right?
100%. And something you said about the financial thing, like, yeah, we're not asking people to break the bank. In fact, I have nothing that I'm selling to, you know, say, hey, come spend X number $100 a month on me. No, but I will say this. I have learned that when you give help for free or you accept help for free, you do not take it as seriously. And yes, if I have a goal, I don't care if someone offers help for free, I will not take it. I will pay them. Reason being, I want to make sure I take this seriously. When I'm investing a few $100 a month into something, I'm going to take every single thing that they say and I'm going to utilize it. And I think that goes for everyone. I think so many times we want stuff for free, but when we get it for free, it's worth that. We make it worth free. And I think also when you invest money in yourself, number one, you're saving money in healthcare costs down the road. You know that. And number two, you're clearing your mind. You're putting yourself in a much better space to actually create more money and bring more things into your life. So I think people need to stop looking at it like, oh my gosh, investing this much a month in a trainer or an app or a book or whatever it is, and say, basically, you are investing. An investment is when you put money into something hoping for a return. You are investing money in yourself. And if you take it seriously, you will get a return worth so much more than what you put in.
God, I so love that. And it's so true. It's funny because I remember one of the gals that I interviewed a couple of days ago, Leslie Bradshaw,
yeah.
she talked about how she, you know, had just had this crazy startup entrepreneurial life and was just running herself in the ground. And she hired a trainer and she hired a meal delivery service. And at the end of the show, she just said, you know what? I do not regret a second, a dime that I spent on myself because it's changed who I am. And now she's more successful in everything.
Yes.
So, you know, again, yeah, I always say, whether it's business or fitness or whatever, it puts some skin in the game.
Yes.
You know, when you put your dollars down, you've got skin in the game. If you don't put your dollars down in some way,
yes.
maybe it's just buy yourself a new outfit and go to the gym.
Yep.
You know, wherever it is that you go, you don't have to go to the gym that's $100, you know, a month.
No.
Go to the gym. There's plenty of gyms that $10, $20 a month.
Exactly.
You know, cut your cable bill. Stop watching TV.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
and start moving. Okay, we could
Amen.
Cut clearly. Yeah. I'm getting off on another like Krispy Kreme tangent, and I realize like we're right at the end of like our time, so we got to do this again, Heidi,
we
like, clearly
need to. Kelly, I love talking to you. Love it.
Yeah, it was so awesome. And I want to just wrap up, and again, you guys, obviously we'll have Heidi back on the show, but I if there's some key takeaways, you know, just remember everything that she said about inner transformation, finding balance, you know, that health and wellness and fitness, it should be fun. It should be, you know, this is life. This isn't like going on a diet. This isn't like I'm going to punish myself. She's somebody you want to follow and tune into because she's balanced. She's leading by example. She's the definition of fitfluential. And first of all, I want to thank you, obviously, my bestie, for coming on the show. We'll definitely have you back. But lastly, just wrap up and tell everybody, you know, where's the best place for them to start, you know, finding you online?
You know what, for those of you or who are like me and have a short attention span, social media, like that's why I love Instagram, because I can look at a picture and read a caption. So on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, I am at Real Heidi Powell, R-E-A-L, and then my name, Heidi Powell. And then my blog, which I love, I only post about 1 to 2 times a week on there, but it's heidipowell.net, not .com.
Awesome. And I guarantee you, like, first of all, I could learn some social media, like visual imagery stuff from you. We'll talk about that later. Like
so
I try to do what the Fitfluential team does on like fitfluential.com.
Yeah.
And like my sister runs that team and they're amazing. And when I try to put a post up on Fitfluential, she's like, no, that's not good. Like you'd think I was good at that, but I'm not. So,
that is so funny.
Oh yeah. I have strengths and those are not. My strengths are, you know, Pop-Tarts and Krispy Kremes and
your strengths are hiring the people that can do it the way that you want it, right?
Yeah, true. That's good. I like that, Heidi. That's good.
Yes.
So you are the bomb. Love you to death. Thank you for being on the show. And we will have you back and have, you know, give those kiddos and your husband a hug. And I will see you in Arizona soon.
Oh, thank you, Kelly, so much for having me on. Such a pleasure.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Olexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.